Blog Talk Radio.
Another night of Spiritual Connections Radio. As you know, this is the main show that we call Spiritual Connections Radio, even though we've kind of expanded and added other people to have their own radio shows and everything under the name. So welcome to another great night. As you know, we're on every Thursday from 9:30 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Of course, all our shows are available for replay probably about 15, 20 minutes after the show ends. You can find it in the archives. As always, I like to give out the website at the beginning of the show and, you know, in the middle and end. If you want to find out more about this show or any other shows that we have, you can go to our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. As you know, our normal format for the Thursday night show is for generally me and my co-host, Pam, to interview somebody. Hey, Pam. It's always great to have you on. The guest that we were going to have on actually had a family emergency come up. So because we schedule everybody so tightly, you know, months out in advance, we had to come up with Plan B, which is I'm going to be lecturing and talking about how to know what your guides are, how to connect with them, you know, how you use them, how they're different from other forms of what I call your support group. You know, and as you know, if you've tuned in to my lecture with Dr. Connie and the Arms of the Angels radio show, you know, I did a How to Connect with Your Angels last week on that show. And of course, that meditation is available on Dr. Connie's website. So tonight we're going to talk about.
I was just going to say, Mark, let's just you and I talk about guides, and we'll move into areas that I know the audience wants to hear about, and it'll be a great show, you and me.
Yeah, sounds good. So, during the show later on, what we'll do, because we are not going to be taking any callers tonight, we are going to do, or I will do, a guided meditation to have an experience meeting your guide. So we'll do that, and then of course, as always, I'll actually drop that MP3 out to the website at www.markarawson.com, so that you can listen to just the meditation over and over again. So I know a lot of people comment on that they like to be able to just listen to the meditations, and you know, that way you have both options. You can go back to the replay if you want to listen to all the material, or you can go to the specific link and listen to just that. So I'm actually going to turn this around really quick and just ask you, Pam, you know, what was your experience like making contact with your guides for the first time?
Well, I'm trying to remember when I first made contact with my guides. You know, it was when I was really, really young. And I think that oftentimes we do make contact with our guides at a very young age. You know, so many of us have had imaginary friends. And even if we haven't designated this in a separate energy from us when we were small as being our imaginary friend. In our games, in our play, in our imagination, there would always be other people there, and we would talk and we would play and we would create amazing things with these energies as though we were living on seventh dimensional frequency, where anything we wanted, anything we thought or felt would immediately manifest. And that's what imagination is all about. And that's, I think, where I initially met my guides when I was very small. Now, saying that, you know, people meet their guides when they're very small. They also give them up when they hit about age 7, because we are convinced by culture, by the systems that we are forced into, like the school system, that imagination is not something that's not only not required, but it's also something that's not even wanted, that it's for children, it's for little children, and it's time to grow up and pay attention in school, and we lose sight of them. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, going to different spiritual conferences and you know, the way the spiritual world is for a lot of things, and most of the people I talk to are just large groups of women.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the common story. Just not just guides in general, but just spiritual ability or using abilities and everything it seems to be the story that's always told, and that is, you know, a lot of women have the spiritual abilities. They recognize them at a very young age. As they get older and they start to go into peer groups and stuff like that, they realize, you know what, I want to belong. And here's something that, you know, makes me feel like I don't belong. So I'm going to basically shut it down. So lots of times when I talk to people at these conferences, you know, you hear the story of, well, you know, I'm, you know, 40-something or 30-something, and I'm just getting back into my abilities, and I had shut it down. And that's the story they always tell, is, you know, it came from a time period of, oh, I had, you know, I felt that I needed to shut it down, or I was afraid of my abilities, or and something like that. So it is an interesting story that people tell. You know,
How about you?
Would be, there's one other thing I wanted to mention about that, Pam, and I think that's,
okay,
you know, how great will that be now that, you know, there's so many indigo children coming in, that, you know, maybe the new story for everybody, and I don't know if we're there yet, I think probably maybe another couple of years, that kids would actually be able to have peer groups where they support each other in a spiritual kind of opening versus having to shut it down. But I don't know if we're there yet. I think, you know, most of the mainstream is still very, very religious, or, you know, there is that kind of peer pressure kind of thing of feeling different. But, you know, I guess
absolutely,
I think the dream I would share is that, that, you know, there's a future where, you know, children can openly have that as their peer group instead of, you know, talking about the chess club or whatever else, that they can all be sitting in their little groups talking about, oh, did you see the aura? Or did you notice that? You know, how incredible would that be? But
that would be wonderful.
I think for me, you know, I don't have that story, or at least I don't have that recognition in hindsight where I can say, well, you know, I was gifted at a very, very young age. And, you know, I do see landmark things, or markers, as I call them, if I look back in my timeline as far as things that happened in my life. But, you know, to me, recognition of my guides and stuff like that probably came around just in the last 3 years as I came more into what I call my spiritual journey. You know, there is, like I said, a lot of different things that have occurred in my life, you know, and you can do that in hindsight, you know, to be able to look back and say, well, I remember when I was 8 years old, I was doing card readings, or, you know, I read Seth Speaks back in the 70s and stuff like that about the nature of reality. You know, I think just recently in the last couple of years has been my connection to my guides. And I would even say that the guides themselves, as far as being able to really recognize, you know, because I think there's that idea, like you said, you can have imaginary friends. But to be able to finally recognize and say, hey, this is my guide. These are the guidances I'm getting, and I have a name for them now or something like that, I think is something that usually occurs a little bit later. Or for some people, maybe very, very early. And for me, I think it really came through validation through working with other psychics or other people that are gifted to be able to say, you know, this person I've been calling Mary or this person I've been calling Stephen are your guides. And it comes to a validation. You know, sometimes there's that, you know, I always feel that probably one of the best benefits you could ever have with being able to do something is getting validation through another person to be able to kind of almost calibrate what you're actually getting, because there is so much information that comes in. You often wonder, well, is this a guide that's actually talking to me? And, you know, sometimes you can get a third person. I think actually with my experiences that I've had, I think you were actually one of the people I was working with. I don't know if everybody's familiar with you. I know they're familiar with you as far as a lot of the teaching you do, but you have so many different abilities. And I think it was through a reading, you were actually one of the people that actually helped validate what I was already getting as far as who my guides were and that they were communicating with. So it was such a wonderful gift to be able to have that.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure to work with you. It's always a pleasure to work with you. That's why I've never given up the show, because it just surprises me. This show continues to surprise me. Every time I get on this Thursday night show, I'm always in awe of how I feel when I get off. It's just an amazing show, and you create a lot of that. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you.
I wanted to tell you a story just briefly about what you said earlier on the kids, indigo children supporting each other. You know, I really think that the unfortunate issue with children are the teachers oftentimes, because teachers, they're older, they're parents. Doctrine. And so, you know, my 10-year-old right now, when he was just four, he was in preschool, and he came home one day and he said, Mom, you know, my teacher says that this reincarnation stuff is just bunk. I said, really, bunk? He said, yeah, he said, there's no such thing as reincarnation. There's no such thing as being able to see what someone else is thinking. There's no such thing of any of that stuff that you talk about, any of that stuff that you believe in. And, you know, I looked at it, and then I said, you know, Ryan, your teacher is younger than your sister. She was like 21 years old at the time. And I said, you know, how would she know? She's too young. And some people know at that age, but you don't know unless you know. You know, it's just because I think you have to instill in children that just because culture is trying to push them into the box, that they don't have to go there.
Well, you know, go ahead.
Hello?
No. We get a little bit of a drop off there. There we go. So what I was going to say is, you know, with somebody who is actually, I have a little girl who's quite gifted. And I know from a lot of aspects, sometimes it just starts at the home and just being that supportive parent who kind of nurtures those abilities with the hope that they won't shut them down, you know, during the phase of the peer groups. Letting them know that it's okay that they have these gifts, that it's okay for them to kind of nurture them. You put them in groups, or you put them in places, or you give them support, or you're just there. And the simplest way is just to be there to just answer the questions and just let them know that, you know, some people might not feel comfortable around what you're doing, but you have to realize that this is a special gift you have, and a lot of people have these gifts and stuff like that, you know, just to kind of let them know that they're okay.
Interesting. So let's go back to the concept of the guides. What's I'd like you to tell me what you believe the difference is between a spirit guide and an angel. Can you do that? And then I'll give you my opinion.
Sure. Oh, great. I would love that. Yeah, I think, you know, for me, the difference I would see is, in the simplest form, I would say that basically guides are souls that, like I would like to say, have a lot of experience. They basically, you know, let's just say if you understand, and I don't mean you in general, but I just mean the people listening. If you understand the reincarnation cycles, and then we come back here and we learn and we reincarnate over and over again, growing and growing, that, you know, in any given time period, maybe we've all had like 125 lifetimes or more. And you would find that your guides would probably have like 300 or 400, and they would be specialized in whatever it is that you're going to have as far as the challenges in your life. So there's that idea that there's like these senior souls, the ones who have more experience, who've been on the earth, have actually incarnated, are part of that cycle, understand the challenges that go with being here. Angels, on the other hand, are a whole separate different energy. They were, you know, for me, I believe in God and the Creator, and, you know, you can substitute in whatever you believe as far as your belief system. But God created angels as a separate energy. They don't come here, and normally there's a few exceptions, but they don't come here and reincarnate. They don't truly understand the nature of the challenges of human beings. And for part of this, it has to do with the fact that they don't have the same concept of time. And part of it is the fact that they don't actually incarnate here. So they do, of course, will come in and help you. And, you know, there's a lot of different stories and situations where that's occurred. But in general, they're a whole separate energy, and they have a different purpose in supporting human beings and in mankind or the earth and stuff like that. So that, I think, in the simplest form is my explanation of the difference of those two. Because I think for a lot of people out there in the spiritual field, they like to mix the two. Like they'll say, oh, you know, when they talk about your guides, they'll say, oh, your guardian angels, the ones that are with you from the time you're born to the time you die. And they'll kind of intermix the terminology.
Right. That's why I asked if you could tell me what you believe the difference was.
Yeah. So what is it that you believe?
Well, I think you're pretty spot on. I think angels are just this pure love. They've never been incarnated, which you're right about that. And they do have form. And whenever you see form, you know that there is a split in the light. In other words, everything that has a form has the divinity that flows through you, that flows through your attention. You break that attention up and you split the attention into two, and it creates an interference pattern in light, which creates the form. It's a hologram. And so the one thing that angels do have is they have a form. In other words, the light is split. So it's not pure, pure, pure light, but it's the closest you can get to not like flowing back into source, original awareness, or source awareness, I guess is a better way to put it. So if you take third dimensional reality, for example, and you break it in two, you break it hard, we've got everything is split into two, right and wrong and good and bad and up and down and left and right. And every concept that you can think of has an opposite concept. We take this divinity that we are, and every time we look, we choose one side of this two-sided world. Actually, there's three sides because we live in third dimensional world. We have the positive and the negative and the neutral. That's where we live. But most of the time, we don't choose a neutral. We choose positive or negative. So when we do that, it breaks that divinity that we are. It breaks it up in half and brings it back around to create the form. In other words, you know how a hologram is created, don't you, Mark?
No, I don't, but go ahead and explain that. That'd be really cool.
Well, basically, what a hologram is a form. Like, say, you could take a picture. Let's say we take the picture of, in Star Wars, you know, that the original movie with little R2-D2 who shows up with the hologram of Princess Leia, for those of you that have seen the Star Trek movie. And this little photograph or this little three-dimensional image of Princess Leia shows up in front of this little robot, and it says, "Help me, Obi-Wan, you're my last hope." Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Okay, well, how they created that and how you create any hologram is you take several pictures of the same image. Let's take a picture of you from four different perspectives in the room. You're standing in the middle. We take the picture from every corner of the room of you. So now we have every side of you. Then we project that image in through light. We project it through light into the center of the room, and you're not standing there. But the interference pattern of the light creates the form, and we would see you standing there in third-dimensional reality, which is how form is created. Now, every dimension, it's split either real hard, like second dimension is split even harder. First dimension is split harder, and the harder you split it, the less love there is, because the harder it is to see the love because of the sides. You've got this positive and negative polarity. You move up into fourth-dimensional frequency, and it gets closer together. It's not split so hard. The colors get a bit lighter. They're not split so hard. You know, and you go up to fifth-dimensional frequency, and love becomes the order of the day. And when you think of something, it happens much quicker than it does on third-dimensional reality because we split it so hard, and so on and so forth. You get up to seventh-dimensional frequency, and that's where the angels are, most of them. That's where they reside most of the time because it's very close to source awareness. It's very close to where we all came from, where the divinity is not split at all, and the colors are almost gone. And the form, you have to look close to see the form because it's almost back to pure awareness. It's just so phenomenal. Anyway, the angels are almost back to this source awareness, and they're very close to pure love, where a spirit guide, basically, before you show up here, you write the program for yourself. In other words, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. You've got this karma thing going on. So you've had several lifetimes, and sometimes many, many lifetimes, and you decide to come back down in here for a short period of time for the purpose of fulfilling your karma and learning the lessons that you had not quite gotten through in your last lifetime. So you write a program with the spirit guide who is often chosen because they carry the qualities that you would like to learn about or experience or have during this lifetime. So you write the program with them. And when you write the program with them, what happens is a choice is made as to parents, as to longitude and latitude, where exactly you'll be born on the planet and what time, so that when you enter the body, the planetary, you know, the astrological aspects of it, align your experience so that you will be able to catch the lesson this time. And mm-hmm. So the spirit guides kind of hold your file. I mean, that's the way it's set up. They sort of hold the file. This is the stuff that you want to learn. These are the lessons that you wrote before you got here. And they kind of help. They're your helpers. You know, it's like, okay, what is it, what kind of talents do you have? What kind of talents do you want in this life? You can always pull in other spirit guides that have those talents, even if you feel like you don't have the talent and you want it, you can pull in someone who's one of our ancestors, one of the people that have passed on that is good at that, to come in and help you do that. So we have one spirit guide, sometimes two, but mostly just one, from birth to death, that follows us through this life. And then oftentimes we can pull in other people, other energies, I would say. I'm not sure people is the right word, but other energies that used to be people on this plane to help, to inspire. It's really a way to create brilliance. Another thing the spirit guides do is if you've created a challenge that is just too difficult in the position that you're in, it's just too difficult. You know, your spirit guide judges it, okay, well, she wrote this or he wrote this to happen right now, but if it happens right now, it's just going to knock him for a loop, and he didn't expect it, and it's just too hard of a lesson. So they'll take your file to the hierarchy, the brotherhood of the light, and say, look, he wrote this or she wrote this, but it's too tough a lesson. We need to lighten it up. We need to make it better for them. So they can still get the lesson, but not get broadsided, you know?
Yeah.
And so sometimes they work in your favor like that as well. They help you to develop talents. Like, I use my guide often when I'm doing mediumship work because it helps dramatically to have someone make that jump connection for you. In other words, in order to talk to someone on a higher frequency, you need to bring your energy up much higher, and the higher frequency energy needs to bring their energy down much lower. And it helps a lot if you've got a guide who can just go click and make the connection and let that information flow through you. So anyway, that's my ideas on guides, and that's what I believe based on my experience. Now, saying that, I've got another aspect of this or another perspective that I'd like to share with you. Do you mind if I go on a little bit longer?
Please do.
Okay. The concept of quantum physics, which you know I'm a big proponent of, and I talk about it a lot, and I teach it a lot. The quantum physics concept says that you change the quantum field by what you think and feel, and specifically what you believe, because a belief is like a filter on your attention. Every time you look, that's what you see. It's like looking through the filter on a camera. So when you look, you change the quantum field. When you decide, you change the quantum field. When you believe, you change the quantum field, and you'll experience exactly what you believe or what you think about life or what you think about yourself, because every time you look, your attention moves through that filter and into the outer world, which is just a reflection of what's inside. So the concept of dimensions, of holographic light creating form, the concept of changing this holographic light by focusing on your world and changing the light in your world based on what you believe is a fascinating concept when it comes to guides. And the reason is because everything you believe, you'll experience. Everything you think is true, you will experience as true. So if you believe in spirit guides, your spirit guide manifests. If you believe in angels, your angel manifests. Now, you can argue, okay, even if I don't believe in spirit guides or I don't believe in angels, do I have a spirit guide? Do I have an angel? I would say yes, and I would say yes simply because it is so prevalent in mass conscious belief. It's so prevalent in what's another word for mass consciousness? It's so prevalent in consciousness connecting to the whole that it's a reality. It becomes a reality. Do you see where I'm going with this? It's like,
yes.
If you know, it's like we all believe the color green is green. And why do we believe that? It's not that the color green has any sort of change, impulse change. There's no vibrational change. There's nothing that would make something green compared to blue. The only thing that is different is our interpretation of that particular color. We decide in the brain, even though there's no, physics cannot determine why one color is one thing and another color is another thing. They can't figure it out. It's just a conditioned, cultural, mass consciousness agreement. It also goes for gravity. It goes for bacterial decay. It goes for so many things that we agree that life works this way. You can't walk through the wall. And so those sort of things become such a reality that they hold us in that cultural and physical form until it doesn't.
You know, I think there's an underlying principle here, and I'm going to kind of take this in a little bit of direction for a second. And I know once I tell this story, I know you're going to probably be able to kind of put some facts to it for me, because I think we've actually discussed part of it, or I remember part of it. But the situation I would set up is you could take a boy who's in a village in a faraway place where there is no consciousness or group consciousness as far as understanding the nature of guides. And you can see that that child is fully connected to a guide with no understanding of that. So maybe in their tribe, they only understand the nature of Mother Earth energy or whatever. And all of a sudden, this specific child is connecting to guides and has that ability without that knowledge. And the reason why I say that, or maybe I'm just misunderstanding group consciousness, but as you were talking, I was thinking about that story about the monk. You know, the ones that learned how to, like, crack the shell open, and they had some monkeys and, like, I don't know, I'll make up places. They had monkeys in India that were doing it. They learned that they could, these things were falling out of the tree, they could go bang them on a rock and actually crack them open. And then what they found by studying this is that there was some monkeys in, like, South America somewhere who didn't know how to do that, but somehow learned that process, almost like all of creation or animals were connected and everything like that. And you had this like animal in a different geographical region who just never even knew or didn't see or learn the process on their own, but yet somehow they knew how to do that. Do you remember that story?
Yeah, it's called the 100th monkey story. And basically what it says is it was monkeys in Japan, and the scientists were trying to study the monkeys, and they couldn't get them out of the jungle. So they would drop off potatoes on the beach. So the monkeys would come out and grab the potatoes on the beach. Now, this is the story. This is at least the classic story. There's probably variations of it. And so the monkeys would come out and eat the potatoes so that the scientists could study them. Well, one of the monkeys realized just accidentally that if she stuck a potato in the water, the sand would come off and they were better to eat. So she taught her spouse, she taught her children how to wash their potatoes, and soon the entire tribe of monkeys on this island was washing their potatoes before they ate them. Well, the interesting thing about it is when it hit a level of mass consciousness, in other words, when it hit the tipping point, when everybody on that, all the monkeys on that particular island were doing it, suddenly the monkeys on a completely disconnected island, you know, Japan is made up of all different kinds of little islands, with nobody showing them how to do it, suddenly began doing it as well. In other words, once it moves into mass consciousness, it becomes something that everyone knows. It becomes a paradigm, a belief system, which is fascinating. So go ahead and tell me what it is you were going to say about that.
Yeah. So it sounds like from my understanding of that, because where I was going with that is that I guess what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to divide the difference or understand the difference between group consciousness and just a belief system of a culture. And the earlier story I was trying to tell you is, I think it was very interesting to see that there could be a child in a tribal land who has no, like, the culture has no understanding of guides. There is no such thing. Yet that child can have that connection, can have, you know, like, you could go in and study that child and say, yes, this is what they're connecting to and stuff like that, with no understanding of that. But with what we just learned in the last few minutes, it's more of a group consciousness that's going on, right? It would be more of like a grid or a holographic planetary understanding. So it's not that an individual culture would have to learn or understand that to be influenced to create that in their holograph or their reality. It's the fact that you could just simply have it in the consciousness of the planet itself.
And exactly. And what happens is the form does get a higher and higher frequency as you move up into fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh dimension. And there are energies that are there. Very clearly there are energies that are there. And but you know, the mystery goes, from my perception of the mystery, is, okay, what created that world of form? Was it us that actually created the world of form? If everybody just suddenly stopped believing in form, in, you know, you started seeing through the veil, for example. You started seeing that all of the things that you think are outside of you are actually inside of you, that you are not located in a body, that you are located everywhere. You are eternity, you are infinity. And the concept of angels and spirit guides from the perspective of this little body serve a purpose, because they help you function in this sometimes very tough life. But if you moved beyond being located in a body, you would see very clearly that it's all the same energy. Those energies that are acting as your spirit guides, those energies that are acting as your guardian angel, those energies that are all around you, helping you move through this very painful life sometimes, those energies are all you.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I you know, I've had a concept about that for a while that I've been talking to people about, and that is, I think that, you know, and we could go into a whole separate topic about, like, what are all the different healing modalities, and, you know, is there a difference between doing a Akashic record reading versus a regular reading and stuff like that. And I want to say the same thing relates to the nature of understanding angels and guides and everything else. And I think if we go to the highest level of spirituality, I think we understand at a very, very high level that we're all one. I'm you, you're me, we're all God, and all that kind of stuff. But I think for the nature of where we are as far as group consciousness, I don't know if we can really wrap our minds around that. So I think it's easier for us to grasp within our reality and what we create this nature of saying that I can take a part of my energy and just put it out there and say, this is an angel, or I can take a part of an energy and say, this is my guide. And I can represent these different parts of energy to have like a contact or an access point to be able to communicate, get information, or to kind of look through the veil, or to, you know, kind of see around the corners kind of thing. Does that make sense?
Hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I think I think you said it a bit clearer than me, but I was making the same point in terms of, from the position that we're in, it's really important to have somebody to count on.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a hierarchy of energies that's not necessarily, I don't necessarily think that it's your energy that you're splitting.
Mm-hmm.
From this vantage point, it's not like shamanistic soul loss or anything like that. I don't believe so. What I think it is there are other energies, other frequencies, other individuations of the I Am presence that exist out there that are ultimately part of you, but represent that reflection for you in this lifetime. So there actually is spirit guides. There actually is angels. And, you know, I've talked to you about it. I've done spirit guide readings for you. I've done a lot of things that, you know, I can't double back and say, no, there's no such thing. Of course there is. But you know what I'm saying? It's like you can look at it from two different levels. One level is that everything around you is real, that everything, you know, moving through this life is sometimes really tough. And bad things sometimes happen to good people, and you just have to try to get through it. You got to know what to do when things get bad. Mm-hmm. And spirit guides often help you get through that. They help you create brilliance. They help you generate an easier life. Now, in saying that, there's another level above that where you say, okay, now I'm at a point where I realize that I'm really not located in the body that I thought I was. Everything is inside of me. When I think about you, for example, Mark, and I think how much I appreciate having you in my life, and I think about how much I really care about you as a friend, and, you know, and I'm flowing that appreciation to you, guess what? It doesn't take hours. It doesn't take hours to get to you because I'm in Florida and you're in France. It doesn't take hours. What it takes is instantaneous emotion. It's instantaneous. And the reason it is instant, you feel it instantly, it doesn't take time, is because we are not in different places. We are in the same place because all of life is inside of me and all of life is inside of you. Do you understand that?
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Yep. So let's kind of bring it back around full circle to people and say, well, you know, all right, so we understand, you know, the difference now and stuff like that. So, you know, as you've worked with different people and everything like that in the classes you've taught, you know, what are the common questions that people have? It's like, okay, well, I have a guide now. How do I connect with it? You know, how would I use that as a resource?
Well, that's a great question. Thank you for asking, Mark. I think the main way that you connect with your guides is by imagination. Pretend you were 3 years old and you wanted a friend and you wanted someone to talk to, or you wanted someone to help you with a project, or you wanted to be brilliant in relation to something that you were working on, you know, creating a song or painting a picture or creating a business or whatever it is that you wanted to do, and you wanted to get better at it. You wanted to do something wonderful, leave a legacy in this world. You just talk to your spirit guide. And the interesting thing about this is imagination plus emotion equal creation. Whether or not that spirit guide is sitting next to you on the bed at night before you go to bed, it really doesn't matter. If it's in your mind, and you are generating an emotion that says, this is my spirit guide, I need your help with this, or I just want to hear what you have to tell me, whatever the issue is, you go to bed and you go to sleep at night with complete faith that you're going to hear from that spirit guide. Now, even if you wake up in the morning and you don't remember anything and you feel, well, this isn't working, you just keep talking to the spirit guide as though he's right there, just like your imaginary friend. Now, I wouldn't suggest you do this in front of a lot of people.
are you talking about some of that children peer pressure?
You might get fake-racted. But the issue becomes, the more you generate this energy, the more you manifest it in the quantum field, and the more that spirit guide that has always been there will begin showing himself or herself to you. You know, and it's funny because sometimes you'll imagine, for example, there was once years ago that I was having trouble with money, and I decided that I needed someone to help me with money. So I would generate this guy who looked like maybe Andrew Carnegie, this billionaire in the railroads in the early 1900s. But he had lots and lots of money. He created the train system in the United States. So I created a spirit guide that looked like him. And I would imagine him sitting there and talking to me every night about money. And every night I'd say, so, Andrew, what do you think? What about my money situation? Now, I would also do this with my psychic abilities. So, what do you think? What can I do today to improve my psychic abilities with another guide? And you just talk as though they are there, and you have a little conference, whether you want to lock yourself in the bathroom and then talk to your guides, or however you want to handle it. You talk, and then you listen. And even if you think this is pure bullshit, this is pure craziness, and I'm just talking out of my, you know, out of my ear, and this is just not anything true at all. If you hold the belief, what happened with me is that that spirit guide that looked like Andrew Carnegie began changing. And after a while, they'll show you what they really look like. And you'll get brilliant ideas, things that would have never come on your own. They'll feed you things. They'll talk to you. And it's just a question of, can I imagine them? Can I feel what they feel like? And can I let them be with me? And that's it. And they're there. Mm. It takes some persistence. It takes some discipline to do it regularly. But you're really never alone, and you've never been alone.
And I think one of the things that I notice is that as you communicate with them more and you're more open to the information coming back, that you are going to see that connection strengthen.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the interesting questions I have for you is, I know, you know, from classes I've taught as far as teaching people how to increase or pay attention to what I would call their psychic or their intuitive abilities. Some people call it the gut feeling or the woman's intuition. We know that people get information in different ways. They can feel it. They can know it. They can see it. They can hear it. They can taste it and stuff like that. Do you think when it comes to communication with guides that it is always coming across as that voice in the head?
Not at all. I think, you know, with guides, let's take the mediumship aspect of it. So someone has passed on and they want to communicate with someone that is still here. They will communicate in the way that they communicated when they were alive. In other words, if they would frequently speak to you and say, I see what you mean, they mm-hmm. usually communicate on a visual level. They think about things with pictures. Or they say to you, I hear what you're saying. That means they're verbal. They listen. They speak. So, and sometimes you'll get pure emotion. I feel what you mean. You know, it's like you get pure emotion. So you'll get energy. You'll get, like, say you're speaking to someone on the other side, and you're getting pictures and pictures and pictures and pictures. Well, that person communicates with visual. They show you things. Those people are pretty easy to figure out. Then you get people to talk to you, and they say, okay, you hear the voice from them. And then you get a person who has passed on who is just emotional. They're so emotional that they're throwing emotion at you, and those are the toughest people to figure out because you've got to interpret the emotion. What the hell do they mean by that? So so that's on the mediumship level, but it also carries some weight with the spirit guides as well. Most of the time, however, the spirit guide will communicate in the same way that you do. In other words, you'll pick guides that, yeah, if you're a visual person, you'll pick a guide who's a visual person who will show you things. And or if you're an auditory person, you'll pick a guide that you will hear things from, and so on. You know, I think that's a fascinating question. What do you think, Mark?
I think so, and I think, you know, where I was going with that is I think that one of the things I see the most often in classes with students that I'm teaching is that lots of times they're almost expecting to hear that voice in the head or to have that vision in their third eye kind of thing. And the reason why they're not getting the information is because they have that expectation, they have that attachment to that outcome. And,
right.
You know, lots of times, sometimes, it could be that they're getting all these visual symbols and everything like that. And they're like, you know, you'd say, well, you know, your guides are talking to you. They'd say, well, you know, I'm not hearing it. I said, well, you know, what is going on? Well, I ask a question and I get all these symbols and stuff. And I'm like, well, yeah, so you're getting the communication. You're getting the communication. And I think the reason why people miss it, and, you know, we know this is the root thing about developing people's psychic abilities and intuitive abilities. It's really just paying attention to all the stuff that you're constantly getting all the time already, but you write off as imagination. Or you write off as stuff that just, you know, you're not paying attention to it. So just putting your intention on it, and we talked about that earlier in the nature of things, and we know the scientific aspects of that also, that just putting our attention on things makes things change. What I was going with that is I think lots of times people probably already have that communication with their guides, but they're missing. They're missing all the information because they're expecting it to show up in some other form. And
that's a wonderful point.
Yeah, and I would have to say from what I've learned from you this evening, the best thing you need to understand about really connecting with your guides is just to really understand on how you perceive information. Are you visual? You know, the dog agrees.
Sorry about the dog.
Oh, that's okay. So I think that's one of the key concepts. So I want to kind of mention a couple things to people because we're kind of ending the show, and I want to kind of cover some more questions instead of doing some other stuff. So I want to just mention to everybody that by tomorrow night, there's going to be a couple different things up on my website for you related to this program. And my website is www.markarawson.com. And the website link for that is actually on Spiritual Connections Radio's website also. And if you go to that for tomorrow night, you will find two freebies that I'm putting out there. One of them is a video that teaches you some techniques to just really connect with your guides, that kind of gives you some step-by-step stuff to play with. And the other one is I'm actually going to give you, because we were talking, like you said earlier, Pam, about using our imagination and emotion to create and enhance connections with things like working with guides and other different things. And one of the greatest ways of doing that is something like a meditation or a journey. And I'm actually going to put up a free journey to meet your guides that I'll make available for you guys to listen to on MP3. So that'll be available tomorrow for everybody. And let's kind of circle back around. First of all, before we get any further, why don't you go ahead and give out your website, Pam?
Okay, thank you. My website is PamelaLatour.com. Very simple, PamelaLatour.com.
And for the listeners out there, if you're not familiar with Pam's work, she teaches in the Florida area. And what is your next class that's coming up? I know you just taught something recently.
Oh, yeah, thanks. I've suddenly got a lot of chaos going around me here. So what's happened was I just finished a class on the power to change reality. I've got another one coming up on October 5th at the Reiki Shrine here in Tampa. I think it's in Clearwater, actually. And they asked me to do that on the 5th of October, so I'll be in Clearwater on the 5th of October. And then toward the end of the month, I'm going to be setting up a shaman workshop. You know, I live on this lake. You know the lake, Mark. It's just a phenomenal place.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful.
And I'm going to start doing a few times a month. I'm going to start doing shaman workshops where we tell stories. We t- tell the stories of our lives in from a shamanistic perspective. You know, Earth connecting to the Earth, connecting to a bridge between heaven and Earth, soul retrieval. It's going to be just this amazing, healing, connecting, very inexpensive evenings, just like $20 for the evening. So, because I want to make it available to everybody. And I realize that sometimes when you have a full day or two full days seminar, although they're amazing to put that much time into yourself, they also can be fairly expensive. So I'm trying to keep it very low, and it's really going to be powerful. So thanks for asking me about that. There's nothing on the website about the shamanistic work yet, because that's not happening until the end of October, and that should go up next week. But if you're interested in signing up, you can always call me at 813-520-8894.
That's excellent. Thank you. Just really quickly, because I want to ask you a last question before we shut down the show. You said you're going to be teaching a workshop in Clearwater. What is that workshop?
It's The Power to Change Reality. It's happening on October 5th, and it's at the Reiki Shrine.
Okay, thank you. So just really quickly in one minute, explain to me what you think is the most important thing people should remember when they're working with their guides.
Be as authentic as you can be. You know, be as authentic as you can be and connect to your spirit guides as though they were your imaginary friends that have always been there, because that's the truth. They have always been there.
Okay,
what do
you
think, Mark? What's your tip?
My tip is to remember that the guides are not there to tell you how to run your life. They're there to give you guidance and to kind of give you little tweaks here and there, but don't get into a position where you basically give up your whole life and just expect them to make all your decisions for you. It kind of would take away what's necessary for you to learn what you need to learn in this lifetime.
Beautiful.
So thank you, Pam, for being on for an incredible show. And as everybody's been listening, you've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. And we want to thank everybody for listening. And, you know, like I said, there's a couple freebies I'll be offering. You can get those off of my website at www.markarawson.com. If you don't remember that link, you can get off of the radio show website at the top. It has a link on how to get to my website. And that's, of course, www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Good night, Pam.
Good night, Mark. Thanks again, everyone.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks a lot. Okay.
Bye-bye.